close, but I just had a few more things that I pray that will be helpful to us. Like I say, I'm not wanting to get into the business of trying to judge people on what they eat or how much they eat. I've got enough to take care of for myself, but I really feel like it's something that you and I need, another hurdle we need to try to climb over if we're going to be able to serve God all the days that we're in this world and not be overcome by sickness and diseases that would tie us to a bed. I've never been tied to a bed, so to speak, except with a blood clot, and then it was a chair. But I suppose the multitude of old people tonight that's tied and confined to a bed, I'm sure it's not a comfortable way to have to spend the last days of your life. And not that right eating will cause us 100% to escape that, but we ought to do what we can for ourselves and then leave the issue in God's hands. What I'm saying is we ought to try to eat right in quantity and quality. And then if God chooses to put us in a bed at the end of the way, then we'll just praise God anyway. But no point in us trying to, for a few indulges in the flesh, to put our own selves in the bed. Now, for the last two or three messages, I've been trying to lay some things before you that'll help you against this sin. Sometimes it's just our thinking needs to be corrected. We need to see things that really are. We can get a lot of help like that if we can just see things. Now, I've mentioned at least 10 things thus far. Let me mention those 10 things. We ought to mortify the flesh by abstinence. That means cut back on your portions. That means do not allow the flesh as much. If you've been eating to the excess, then you know about what you're eating. Decide to cut yourself back and don't allow your flesh to have as much as normal. That's the way to fight against this sin. The second way that I mentioned, live faithful to God. I mean by that, when you live faithful to God, you know your higher end. Everything is given to us that we might be a better servant of God, even our food. Keep your heart set upon spiritual delights. And if you keep your heart set upon spiritual delights, then it's easier to deny the flesh. The third thing that I mentioned, see all the food that you have is provided by God. And most certainly we don't want to be guilty of taking a blessing from God and turning right around and spewing it back in His face or sinning with the provision God has given us. The fourth thing that I mentioned, Christ's blood, according to Romans 8, God gave His Son, and through Him He shall freely give us all things. That means His blood has purchased our food. That will help us have more of a reverential respect for the food that we take into our bodies. The fifth thing, remember how the first sin came into the world. It was by eating. The fifth thing, keep a check on your appetite. In other words, watch out. Don't allow your appetite to rule and govern you. Number six, know what is best for your health. Most of us is getting to the age now. It doesn't take us long to know what hurts us, what bothers us, what causes us problems, and we need to lay some thinking to that and be careful that we don't continue to take in things that we know that's causing us physical problems. Number seven, let us all remember this, appetite is not the rule we live by. We're not to let what we desire or what we feel like is enough, we're not to let that be governed by our appetite, but by our reason. Number eight, I said, do not judge your amount of what you've eaten according to how you feel. Some people that eat to the excess and still feel fine. It's not based on feelings, it's based on reason. And we must always let reason sit on the throne. Number nine, I said, common custom, certainly in this age. If there's any age has ever been that we don't need to pay attention to custom, and that's in eating. Because this society is teaching us to eat all you want, eat all you can. And then the last thing I said this morning, beware of variety. Now, I'm not talking about just eating one food, but be careful when there's too many types of food. In other words, have enough variety that you can enjoy a meal. Have vegetables and meats and all if you like that, but don't have a great variety of two or three kinds of meats and two or three. You'll find yourself being tempted because of variety to eat a little of this and eat a little of that and draw yourself into a snare. Now look at Proverbs 22. I want to go on and give you some more helps here in closing on this particular subject of gluttony. The Bible said, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. And as Brother Jerry mentioned tonight before the service, well, you're always sitting with a ruler. In other words, if you want to look at it to the farthest application, God Almighty is in every meal you eat. And so we always need to be mindful of that. He said, put a knife to thy throat. And of course, the general application here is this. If you happen to eat with some people that live in a more of a luxurious way than you do, be careful that you don't get fastened on to their habits. This happened to me years ago. I began to eat in these great big restaurants at $25 and $30 a plate. I wasn't paying the bill. Somebody else was. I remember one time, I think the plates were about $25 a piece, and we all ordered ours, and he ordered some swordfish. I mean, here we was in the state capital of North Carolina, and he gets a swordfish for $7.95. And I asked him, I said, man, what? He said, hey, he said, it ain't right in the sight of God to pay that kind of money for a meal. And when I heard what he said, I couldn't help but to agree with him. I sure didn't argue about it. But it didn't stick in me as deep as it should have, because it wasn't long. I was looking for places around the Charlotte area that I could go and spend X amount of dollars. And it got so the price of a meal it's a mindset, folks. You know, when you're full, you're full. I mean, I don't want to eat dog food. But you know, when you leave out of a place, whether you're at K&W and it costs you $6.95, or whether you're at the Hertford Barn and it costs you $25 a plate, the results are still the same. You're full. And oh, how we need to be careful that when we eat and play, maybe somebody may take you to a fine place. Hey, be careful, folks. Don't let their weakness draw you in. And we need to be careful about even taking each other to these places. Folks, most of us, hey, as far as financially, we ought not to be spending no great big amounts on food. We ought not to be dropping all this big dollars down at these fine restaurants. So this is what he's saying. He says, now, consider diligently what is fully. Consider what's going on here. He said, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be given the appetite, be not desirous of his dainties. In other words, don't get to wishing, man, I like to eat like this a couple times a week. I like to have this highbrow food all my life. He said, for they are deceitful meat. In other words, all of this fine eating, and all of this high price eating, and all of this what would be great food is deceitful. It'll make you eat more than you're supposed to eat. Now, another means to help us fight against this sin of gluttony is something simple. Let us all resolve this year to give some more to the poor. Let us resolve to cut back on our expenditures in eating and give more money to some charitable use. And if not that, folks, all of us have children that sooner or later would be nice to get a little help. And oh, how much we could maybe help some of our children or somebody else, even amongst their own crowd that has a legitimate need, and be a lot better investment than eating a lot of food in the excess. Oh, how the Bible warns us to remember the poor. You know, all you give to the poor will keep it from becoming a sacrifice to your belly. Oh, how easy it is to go over to this place and that place and spend $20 and spend $20 and spend $20 and eat a meal over here and spend $20 and a meal over here and spend $20. But oh, listen to me, all that does, it goes through and out the drought. But what you give to the poor is laid up for time and eternity. Let the greatest and most needful uses be served first. It is not a good time to be bowing to our appetites and wallowing in excess when others around us may have legitimate need. Oh, let us be more thoughtful this year. If we're going to practice abstinence in our eating and we're going to try to get better eating habits, then let us be more mindful of those who may have a need, and let us try to lay out more to the cause and help of somebody this year than we did the year before. If you lay out for the poor what you save in eating right, then hey, listen to me. If you serve kind of a skimpy type meal, at least people can't accuse you of being stingy. Because you took what you could, would have normally spent, instead of having excess, you fed people all they needed, and then you took the extra and gave it to the poor, and who would ever speak a word against you if you were giving to the poor? Well, I certainly wouldn't. If you give me a meal that was kind of skimpy and said, you know, I fixed this kind of skimpy, and I had $20 to spend on this meal tonight, and I decided to fix a $10 meal because I want to give $10 to a poor brother, I mean, I'd hate to say anything, wouldn't you? I'd hate to say, well, you ought to thought about my big belly, praise God, instead of somebody over there needing something else. Oh, if we just think about the poor. I fear, folks, that we're, because of the plenty God has given us, we've taken it to think that we're supposed to consume it all on ourselves. And spend it all around our little happiness and our little dreams. The price of one feast will feed a lot of poor people. You know, the price of excess in this age, just among you people, that would feed a lot of poor people in some strange land. What have you done when you give to the poor after your belly's full first? You know, this costs you nothing. You know, if you go out to a bunch of, out here to a hog farm, you know, even a pig will leave what he can't eat for another pig. The pigs are that generous. How should we be better than a swine? If you pinch your flesh just a little bit and live more sparingly so that you'll have more to give to those in need, then that's commendable. And that'll help us fight and help us deal against this sin of eating to the excess. Never try to persuade anyone to eat when there's no need. Listen to me. Folks, listen to me. We're probably going to have a lot of problems with this. I just the other night, Donnie, I brought him another piece of meat. I thought he wanted a piece, and I could tell he was a little hesitant. And I should have never brought that other piece of meat over there. I want God to help me not. I want a man to eat all he's supposed to, but I don't want to cater to anybody's flesh. And I don't know what that situation was, but when I think about it, when she spoke tonight, and he'd been trying to cut back, and here I was trying to get him to eat something else, I feel guilty about that. I need to watch that. I need to be careful of that. If I do that to you next time you come to the house, just remember I'm not a thinking right and pay it no mind, because I don't want to persuade you to eat when you don't need to eat. You had enough, you've had enough. Instead, let us all help each other and try to be a blessing to each other, keep us from running to the excess. Be careful that we don't persuade people to eat too much. Then, on the other hand, lovingly and kindly warn each other and try to talk more about the excellence of abstinence and control of our appetites, more so than eat all you can. Well, that was good. Let's have some more. Praise God. That was lovely, you see. You know, without my help, Satan and his bait, which is food, that's enough temptation right there. If I didn't ever encourage nobody over me, that strong enough temptation for any man is what the devil tries to get him to do as far as excess and eating. May the Lord help us not to add to the devil in his temptation, which is food, that cutthroat kindness. Have another one. Eat all you can. Man, fill up. Don't want you to go home hungry. And all of that seems to be just fine talk, but oh, how it caters to the flesh. Another thing I want to tell you, when you feel your appetite to be very eager against reason, sometimes you can slip around and get real hungry. Watch out, you got to be real careful of that time that you don't put in more food than you need. Being firm would help keep the temptation back. You know, a person that's undecided, you know, if you don't just make up your mind that you're going to really get a hold of this excess, if you just say, well, I'm just going to see how it goes, oh, the devil will hang around somebody who's undecided, because he knows somebody's undecided. He can talk them in to a lot of things that he cannot talk. You know, if your mind is made up and I ain't having nothing to do with it, very rarely will you get bothered by that problem. But when we're not decided, that's when the devil makes his move. Oh, the devil finds you yielding. The devil finds you wavering. The devil finds you thinking a lot about your eating and what you're going to have. It gets you thinking about the taste of it. Oh, when your mind's not made up, then, oh, I'm going to put a portion there, I'm going to eat it, and then I'm going to back away, and I'm done to the next meal. Oh, he'll tempt you 1,000 times more than somebody whose mind is made up. Now, we need to keep reason on top and resolve that whatever we do, we're not going to prepare our bodies for diseases. We're just not going to help destroy ourselves. Remember what your body is. You know, shortly, your body is going to be in the dust. The part about you that you feed and this flesh and all is going to be put in a hole to rot. You know, what we do basically is we cater to this flesh so we'll give the worms a big feast. You know, worms get you. They'll get, I don't know if they can get these balls this day and time or not. I don't know if they can or not. But, you know, I know rats can get through small, mighty small huffles. But I need one thing, worms. Why cater to the flesh and just make one great big worm feast? Just think of all the people that's been dead a month or two. Would you like to see them now? Would you like to raise them up out of their box? Oh, look into the grave and see what is the end of all this pleasant meat and drinks. Oh, in the grave you see a skull. In the grave you'll see a hole in the head where all that food went in and all that delicious was devoured. Oh, what folly that men can so easily eat their way into the grave at the neglect of their soul. For small and worthless delight. What is that delight? Pleasing a piece of flesh. Why would I ever overeat but to please my flesh? It never was to please God. I ain't never took one more bite than what I was supposed to please God. All of it has been in order to please this flesh. And think about what a vile end that it'll soon have. I'll die and be put in a box. Was it worth so much toil, so much cost, so much care? Oh, listen to me. And how many will cast away their salvation or to pamper that flesh? And soon it'll be nothing more than a stinking carcass and their soul will be in hell. One side of a grave, one side of a skull, or to make gluttony and excess a thing that's mad and madness to people that's got into sins if we stop and thought about it. Ecclesiastes says this, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Now, boy, that's a strange statement, isn't it? In other words, you know what he's saying? You're safer at the funeral home than you are at a feast. Huh? You're safer at the funeral home than you are at a feast. David said this, incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. You know, feasting among friends is such a dangerous thing that Job said. And it's a lawful thing. It's lawful people to get together and have meals and have fellowship. But it's so dangerous that Job said, when my kids get through with one of them feasts, I'm going to offer up a sacrifice. He sat over there in Job, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. What? Around eating and drinking. Job said, I believe it's a good possibility my children can offend God. My children can dishonor God around all this eating and feasting. And Job said, continually, when they eat and drink, he was offering up sacrifice just in case they sinned against God. Not only that, another help to us, look at the ancient Christians. They had a pattern of abstinence. And oh, is our life like theirs? The Apostle Paul, it says about him, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. Oh, listen to me, folks. Hey, a lot of God's people have lived on the bare necessity, roots and things of that matter. It says, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Oh, how we need to think about those in past and see if we're holding forth a decent testimony when it comes to this matter of eating. This sin is a very awful sin. And these are ways that we can fight against it. Oh, I pray, folks, that we be careful lest some of us be like Esau of old. He was profane, the Bible said, and sold his birthright for one morsel of meat. So that which God promised his inheritance, just to fill his belly. Oh, how sad that a man would sell his soul for the pleasing of his belly. God has a lot of different cures. See, we're Christians. God would have us to honor him in everything. And the verse that he puts out to you and I, whether we eat or whether we drink. And if we ignore that and keep on ignoring that and go against the power of God, just like Balaam going against the angel if he couldn't see, then God has another kind of cure if we're determined that we're not going to pay attention to his word. Now, maybe that's what he meant to me this past year when he says that if you don't get straightened out, I'm done with you. Maybe he was going to use another kind of cure. You know, God can cast you into poverty. You know, God can fix it so you don't have but just a few dollars to spend on eating. If you don't want to control your excess, God says, I'll help you. I'll take away your income, your source, and you won't be able to buy all of that food. I mean, folks, I wonder how much this church here, how much we spent on unnecessary eating last year. How much money was spent out here at these eating places where we could have eaten a lot cheaper? How much food was fixed and thrown away to animals? You'd be surprised the dollar amount that would be on the waste and excess right here in this building. Now, if we don't want to pay attention to God, he can cast us into poverty. He can fix it so there's no money. Oh, that's not going to cure your heart, but what it is, you're going to just be a glutton in desire. And you'll not be able to satisfy your desires because you don't have no way to buy the food. Oh, may God help us to be more prudent, and may God help us to be more concerned and more set to be a blessing to somebody to help them get some legitimate things of life rather than to blow a lot of money on feeding our flesh. Another way that God can get our attention if we don't want to listen to the Word of God, he can cast you into some diseases. He can give you some bodily problems that will make you hate your prosperity. It make you would to God 1,000 times that you hadn't been given a life of plenty. God can so afflict you that you'll wish you had a poor man's wages. You wish that you had a poor man's appetite. And oh, you'll say of all those baits of sensuality, as Ecclesiastes 12 says about God, about people who don't seek him, oh, I have no pleasure in them. I'm telling you, God can make us so sick, folks, that we don't even want to live. You can feel so bad that you want to die. I'm sure there's people right here in Stanley County tonight that feel so bad they just want to die. They're so sick. They have such a dreadful disease and it has such a loathsome effect on them that they wish they could die. And how sad that is if God has to get our attention at 40 and 50 years old with diseases that destroy us. Oh, don't you want to live out your days? Don't you want to be healthy in your days? Don't you want to see your children grow up? Don't you want to be there to encourage them, to be a blessing to them? Oh, listen to me. God says, oh, if you won't hear me, then I'll come to you and you'll hear another way. I'll give you poverty. I'll give you a loss of job. I'll cut your time back. I'll fix it so you can't hardly make it. I'll get you. And listen to me, folks. Most people have such a whopping little house, baby. It ain't going to take much to bust you right now. Well, you're already close to it. And all God's got to do is blow on your boss man just about 2 months, and son, you're under. And how sad that God would have to do that to get our attention. How sad that we could be sitting here and God said, okay, I'm going to have to flick you into some diseases. I'm going to have to put you in a bad state to get your attention. I'm tired of you wasting money. I'm tired of you eating the excess. I'm tired of you trying to get everybody else to do the same thing. I'm just tired of you not thinking about serving me and not staying healthy to serve me. I'm just tired of that. And now I'm going to flick you with some diseases that will cause life to go very, very slow. The case, listen to me, folks. The case will be greatly altered. Oh, when you die, when you get sick. Oh, all your friends, all your money, all your greatness. Oh, what can that do to a carcass that's corrupted by disease? I mean, listen to me, folks. There's some people in this world, they got all the money they ever spend, but they're sick and they're dying. And every dime they got won't change their condition. All they can think back all the times they've had, but it won't do anything. You'll not be afforded no comfort when your body's laying there languishing with some disease. And you sit around your church house, and we can see it on you little by little. Your face begins to look pale, and you begin to draw up, and your bones begin to rattle, and your skin begins to dry up, and oh, you begin to look bad and pitiful, and it won't be long, you won't be able to sit here, and your pain will be so bad that you'll not be able to sit still. And oh, how sad if it's because we wouldn't pay attention to the Word of God. We wouldn't hearken unto God's book. Oh, the words will become a reality to you, as it said of the rich man over there. He said, "Remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things." Oh, let us not be like those in James. Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Ye have lived in pleasure on earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. In other words, a drinking and a eating and a fattening themselves up, just like you do an animal before they kill him. God says, woe be unto you. What's going to happen to you? He said, oh, I'll tell you what's happening. You're going to weep and howl. You're going to regret that fine living, forgetting about God. And let me say these last things here. Listen to me, folks. Religion is not wrapped up in these externals. So don't get to thinking too highly of yourself if you get to using abstinence and you get to the place you fast often. Be careful that you don't make that your religion. Religion is a heart work. It's not an outward work. Know your own condition. Know how good. Hey, listen to me. I think you ought to fast, but I think you better get one that God calls. Know your body. Know that which is good for you, whether it's eating or fasting or whatever it is. Remember that you have a higher end. It's more to life than satisfying the flesh. Luke says this, woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Let us keep that in mind. A decaying body needs to be supported. An unruly body needs to be subdued. The same medicine will not serve for the same sickness. Each one of us has to be honest, and where we at and what we need, that we ought to be willing to do. Do not think that absence of certain foods while you eat another in excess will work. Folks, I don't care what kind of foods you eat. You're going to have to let reason control you. I know that's the popular thing. If you eat what I'm eating, you eat all you want. No, ain't nowhere in God's book He told you that was permissible and that was acceptable in His sight. I don't care what you eat. You are demanded by God to mortify your flesh. Now, you get to thinking, well, I don't eat this, so I can just eat all I want of this other. You're still missing the whole point of letting reason control your appetite. Do not think that fasting certain days and then bowing to your appetite the rest of the week. Listen to me. Don't think that if you fast on a certain day of the week and then you eat like a pig, and say like some of you here fast on Sunday, and then you a Monday morning you eat like a pig, it ain't going to be no reward for that. When you dive into your next meal like a pig, you just lost your whole fast. See, the flesh will play all kinds of games with you. The flesh will tell you, well, since I'm not eating this, I can eat all I want of this. Since this is good, wholesome, nutritious food, I can just stuff myself. Wrong. And remember, excess, I don't care whether it's quality food or junk food, breeds disease. Don't think the flesh says, well, you fasted? You know, when I started fasting on the Lord's Day here, this back sometime, I don't know how long it's been ago, I don't know how long it's been, but it's been a week or two or three, 4 weeks, I forgot what it is anyway, but I got so on Sunday night after I went and eat more after Saturday evening about 5 o'clock, and it was Sunday night, man, I was eating too much. And I realized that, hey, there I was, the same old habit. Even though I was fasting, but I was putting that stuff in as hard as I could go at night. I had to quit eating. I just had to go ahead and fast the whole Lord's Day. and wait till tomorrow morning at breakfast time before I get my next bite of food and I get what my wife puts on my plate. And I sit there and eat it and go along my way and try to enjoy the day and wait till the next meal, the next meal. Your flesh will tell you, well, you fasted all day and you can eat double the amount now. What's the point in fasting? I thought that was to deny the flesh. You know, anybody can make it through a day's fast if they know they're going to bust a gut when it's over. How sad, you know, we're about, you know, 2 o'clock Sunday, we're waiting there. Can't wait tonight at church. Boy, I can't wait to get in that refrigerator. Oh, we got this left over, we got that left over. Boy, we can have us just a buffet right there. And boy, I'm just so hungry. You want it all to mind your flesh. Oh, that's deceitful. We have to be careful. Don't think that. Another thing, don't think. Do not think the absence from food while you play in other sins will be acceptable to God. Don't think you say, preacher, I'm going to get on this food kick and I'm going to get right with it. Right, listen to me. No, you got to be right in other areas too. Some people say, well, I can do that. I'll do that. Oh, no. God's not going to bless you while you play in other sins. I don't care how well you maintain your appetite. All of this kind of thinking is self-deluding. Another thing, don't be making so much conversation about what you're eating. You know what it is? It means it's vexing you. I don't care if you're bragging about it, it's vexing you. The Bible says make much of Jesus. Talk about Jesus, not what you're eating and not eating and not what. Hey, don't make such a big, you're making a God out of it. I don't want our church to be running around. All that comes out of the side of your mouth is what you're eating and what you're not eating. And you can't wait to get to another person to tell somebody about something else. Hey, listen to me. You might as well go ahead and eat. Just get you some eating habits and shut up. I mean, if you're not eating this and eating that, shut up. Hey, listen to me. If I be lifted up, I'll draw. You ain't going to draw nobody to you by talking about what you're eating and what you ain't eating. Don't make it a big conversation piece about your eating habits. Oh, it's fine. That's got your attention. You're vexed. And oh, you're caught up in it. Hey, what you going to do when you ain't vexed? And what you going to do when you're not caught up? You have to fall back in it. Get you a thing that you can live with and just practice it the rest of your days. Oh, that's what we need to do. Just get us a decent eating habit. Exercise. Okay, boys, you want to get strong? Then I wouldn't ever wear another short sleeve shirt. You want to get a muscle in your arm? Then put your long sleeve shirt and keep it the rest of your life. Now, I'll tell you why you want a muscle, bless God, to show it off. Yeah, hey, listen to me, folks. I don't get no exercise, so I'm exercising some. Some of you don't need exercise. You're getting plenty of it. You walk all day, you move around, you do this, that, that. You got to watch out. You see, our kids get caught up in things that becomes a God to them. And before you know it, they want big biceps, they want big chests, they want all this. But hey, listen to me. God doesn't use big chested people use. Why? Because they're caught in pride. If you're going to exercise, just do it in a moderate way and hush about it. And if you do enough of it to start getting yourself so you look like it, then hey, doing exercise is just like camping out. You know what I feel like about camping out? No, I don't say, boy, I can't wait to get back in there on that machine. No. But I need a little exercise. Typing on a typewriter is just not quite enough to keep me so I can function. So I got me some weight stuff, and I've been working a little bit and pressing a little bit and trying to get myself tightened up a little bit as I'm trying to lose weight. But I ain't trying to be no pretty boy. I ain't trying to impress nobody. Some preacher told me the other day, he said, I work out all the time for my wife. And I said, that's commendable. Brother, if that's true, praise God, I need a little more of that in me. That's certainly a good characteristic. If you keep yourself in good shape and keep the fab off of you so your wife won't have to look at such a sight, and I'd have to say, I told him, I certainly admire that, and I certainly need some prayer in that myself. I don't think enough about that kind of stuff. Listen to me, if you get in it to be seen by others, and you get in it to be noticed. I mean, folks, I've already had a problem when I sit around, I'd be looking at my arm. I'd already know right then, you better stay away from it. You know, hey, listen to me. You go into the store, the sign says slightly damaged, but greatly reduced. I preached a sermon on it here like that one time. that were slightly damaged. What's wrong with it? Oh, it's got a little dent over on the right hand side. Well, I got a wall. That's what I want. $200 off of that? Yeah, bring it to the house. Just a little dent in something causes it to lose you today. Hey, just a little bit. Hey, fella, you walk around just looking at your arm. Can cause God to pass you right by when you need somebody. Watch out, young boys. I'm telling you, it can be a thing that can destroy you. And you may get a strong body. And you may be able to lift this. And you may keep yourself fit and trim. And all that's good if it's for a higher end. But, buddy, when you get to the place that you can feel yourself walking and you walk around and feel like you're being seen by other people, I'm telling you, God's going to go right by you. Oh, listen to me, folks. God ain't needing no physique. That don't impress God Almighty. God Almighty knows the more you have that you can count on, the more you'll count on it. God finds him little fellas like Gideon. He finds him people like Moses, gets all a stuttering, afraid he can't do the job. He don't find all these greats and mighties who's full of himself, say, here am I, boy, I've got this and I've got that. He don't choose those. You know, the Bible said God hates a proud look. That's another danger about losing weight. It's amazing. We don't have nothing to be proud about. But it's amazing how we lose a little weight and get proud. As if all them flaws are gone. Hey, if you're going to lose weight, and some of us do, God said he slew the fattest of them. And that right there tells you, if God was to come in here in the last few years and said, I'm going to kill the fattest of them, I'd have been on top of the list. I would have been one that was taken out. So I need to lose some weight. I need to get myself down so I can function and I feel better. But no, you know what? There's occasion for pride even in that. You know, our flesh is so depraved that we ought to be plumb ashamed of ourselves. But oh, what does it do instead of feel ashamed? It finds occasion to be proud. And you know what God says? God said, I resist the proud. You got to watch out, ladies, when you start losing weight. You'll want to start tightening your clothes up tighter than you ought to. You'll start wanting to change your simple attire. You know, if one dress has been good enough while you're fat, why couldn't one ain't good enough while you swim? Huh? If you wore one, if you got your old sack and put it on while you're fat and tried to serve God in it while you had a few rolls, then why is it we want a whole variety of clothing? But to deck our bodies out, which gives us occasion for pride. It's another thing we need to have some simplicity in, is dressing. But it's far too much money spent on clothes. Far too many wardrobes tonight is chugged slam full of stuff that's never, ever wore. But you know what? To most people, folks, they seem to be out of the world and out of fashion. But I want to stay in style. I don't know nothing about no winter pants. I don't know nothing about no spring shoes. It's called shoes and it's called pants. And the way I was raised, you wore your spring pants in the fall, in the winter, and in the summer. You had two pairs of shoes. You went to church in one of them, and the other you wore it all the time. But see, we've come a long ways from that in excess also. Let us beware of this eating. Let us be careful. Young boys, be careful. I'm not against you exercising. I'm not against you trying to stay in shape, trying to get yourself a little stronger. But listen to me. I'm telling you right now, God will pass you up just like that if you get some pride in you. And while somebody over there don't have a bit of ability, it looks like, and you look at them and say, well, why him? It's because they humble themselves before God. And I remember that. If exercising and losing weight is going to cause you to be proud, then I'd go ahead and start praying right now. God, please, I need to lose. The Lord, don't pass me by. Don't let me get proud. Don't let me start dressing in such a way that I can feel myself when I walk. Oh, you got to be careful, folks. You know, when you get to losing weight, you get happy. I bet God's really proud about that name. So look at, you get happy about losing a pound. You ought to be happy in Jesus. You can go bebopping around here because you feel good about yourself. You're getting smaller, you're getting thinner, you're being more noticeable. Maybe you've had a comment or two. Oh, you better pray God high pride for me. So what a shame you get all the way down to a good size and without a pride, God has to smite you with some disease. Has to afflict you in some way where you have a lot of trouble. Oh, may the Lord help us to be careful that we don't. Let me say these things one more time. Don't think that absence of certain foods give you the right to eat other foods in excess. Do not think that fasting certain days and then battling your appetite the remainder of the days is right. It's wrong. Do not think that absence from food while you play with other sins will be pleasing the sight of God. And let us not be making a whole lot of conversation. I'm not saying you can't talk about it, but I'm saying don't let that be. Don't be the type of person, yeah, so-and-so just called me. Yeah, they just gave me a rundown on all they eat and what they didn't eat and how many inches they've lost and how much pounds they've lost and how many sizes they dropped and all this kind of stuff. Don't get that deep in it. Just get you a decent eating habit. And remember, it's all to please God. And whatever, don't be censorious on other people. Don't sit around and watch them and say, oh, they need to do something about that. You know, it's been a long time. You need to do something. Just pay attention. Mind your own business. Let everybody be their own judge. That's one of the situations where every man's got to stand or fall to his own master. It's not given to another man to decide the quantity of food that a man takes in. And so let us not get critical of each other. Let us not let it be a conversation piece to find negative things to say. But let us all in cheerful temperaments preserve our health the best we know how and leave the issue of it to God's sovereign will. And may we all pray that God, whatever I do, please don't pass me by. Lord, please don't let me be a castaway. Please. Eating was going to kill me if I kept on. But then losing weight and pride gets me. What difference does it make? The devil don't care how he gets us, folks. As long as he gets us. And so the least we talk about it, and the more we just live a life of being careful of what we eat, and maintaining our bodies for the sole purpose, not to be seen, not to listen to me, folks. Not all what you see ain't reality. If my wife was to die and somebody wanted to marry me, they'd have about 100 questions. Son, I'd find out every little thing that ailed him. I ain't marrying no sick horse. And my honey, I'm telling you, if I die, don't let some good-looking dude that's got him nice clothes come out. Find out what his ailments are. Man, you crazy to get 40, 50 years old and pick up another spouse without checking it out. It can be a whole lot of things hid under them pretty threads. Whole lot of things that make you sick. Hey, listen to me, folks. The end of it is not to impress people. The end of it is to please God. And let us all try to humbly ask God. And I want you to pray for me, folks. I realize, listen to me, this is a lifetime situation for me. It's no more play. It's no more chances. Son, I done used up all my chances. I done throwed away all my... I'm striking on my last strike. And I either hit the ball this time or I'm out of the game. And so I'm going to be on something else. And I don't know when I'll preach on this ever again. But I want you to constantly pray for your preacher that he wouldn't be overcome by a biscuit and throw away his ministry. As well as forsake the lives of those who depend upon his preaching in order to satisfy his flesh. May we all seek help and do what we need to do, and let us serve God and be faithful. And that's what I want to be, folks. I just want to be faithful until Jesus comes. Let's bow our head. Father, help us tonight. I'm done, as far as I know. I've said a plenty, Lord, and I can honestly say 99% of everything applied to me. Oh, Lord. I pray for our young people, Lord. They may somehow or another, by the good grace of God, take this eating thing serious. And I pray that somehow or another, God, and I know it takes a miracle of grace, that these young men and young ladies, they are dominated by the overwhelming desire to be used of God. And Lord, they would absolutely fear and tremble lest a little pride would rise up. And God, you would have to pass them by because of pride. Lord, help every young girl to think, Lord, if you've got a godly boy and you're going to give him a wife, Lord, don't let me have something in my life and disqualify me. And I pray, dear God, that these young men, if they are looking a wife, and I pray these girls, these boys would say, God, don't let me have anything in my life that would disqualify me from getting a good bride. Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Lord, I pray you'd help our church. Lord, we're just a family. Lord, a very close family at that. Lord, I pray you'll help us even in this area. Lord, you know when a family has a problem, everybody has it. And I pray you'll help each and every one of us. And Lord, maybe those tonight that don't have a lot of problem with this, some tonight may have to encourage themselves against their appetite to eat enough food to maintain their body. But I pray that, God, they would have some feelings for the affliction of Joseph. And Lord, they think about us, people like myself, that need help in this area. And Lord, I want to be helped. I want to magnify you. I want to extend and show forth the wonderful grace of God. That, Lord, I've failed 1,000 times in this thing. Lord, this is my last chance. But I'm hinging this time on pleasing you. And I pray you'll help me. And I pray, Lord, whatever success I have, I'll walk humble. And I pray that I always have a patient heart for those who may still be given to the flesh if you let me have the victory. I pray you'll help us all. And I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Think about it, folks. Let us be careful. Let us watch out. Oh, not only have to watch our eyes, we've got to watch our bellies. Not only have to remember that God sees every little thing that we try to hook our eye upon. God also sees every little bit we put in extra that we're not supposed to put in. You know, in a group like this, we just encourage one another. You know, buddy, you know, it's just wonderful when a whole family can work together on a situation. It just makes things a lot easier if there's just everybody has a heart for everybody else and everybody encourages everybody else. Oh, it sure is tough when your house is divided. And I pray that our church will stay in harmony. And those of you that don't have a real problem in this area, that you'll be mindful and you'll be kindly affectionate toward us that do, and you'll pray for us. Because, you know, you've got some sin. You've got something that besets you. Some of you may have a problem with drinking too much. You maybe love tea to the degree you just can't seem like you sit the glass down. But whatever it is, I'll pray for you and I want you to pray for me. But whatever our situation, I want us to always be a family of God, to encourage each other, to love each other, to admonish each other, and to be a blessing to each other in every area that we have. And you can look at me and tell I need help, so therefore be extra careful around me about offering me anything. Oh, that old flesh is weak, friend. So you be careful. You see somebody's got a problem, then be real careful about trying to encourage them to eat anything. Because really what you're doing, you encourage them to get sick. You encourage them to go to the hospital so you can visit them. And I know we have to see that by faith. We can't see that with your own eyes. You think, I mean, man alive, I've asked people to eat some meat about it. I was trying to be a blessing. Honest to God, I was. I never did think I was killing somebody. I never did think I was trying. I wouldn't try to get you to do that when you was to satisfy your flesh. But I was doing it. And now that we see this a little bit, may we encourage each other. Parents, you got smaller kids, you still have a chance to mold them a little bit. Work hard on that. Teach them what to eat. Tell them oftentimes, that'll ruin you, son. That'll put the disease in you. That'll destroy you. Tell them what'll make them healthy. Tell them what'll make them feel good. Tell them what'll make them have some strength about them. It's right eating. And if we do that along the way, then certainly it'll be a blessing, and God will bless us. And we encourage each other. And hopefully we can avoid a lot of sicknesses. And not that I've already done enough damage. I don't know if I'll avoid it or not, but I always prayed God wouldn't give me over to the doctors. But you know, what was I doing? I was praying for God not to give me over, and I was just doing as much as I could to get in their hands. It's amazing how blind you can be in it. Blind, blind, blind. Father, bless us, I pray. Lord, thank you for these messages. Lord, they've been a real help to me. And I pray that, Lord, it just wouldn't be the outward letter, but I pray when I get off these messages, I still have that desire in my heart that I've had, especially here in the last 5 weeks, is to bring myself under subjection and have a good testimony for God, even in the eating area. And I pray that when I get on other subjects, go right on preaching. The Lord, the rest of my life, I pray that people look back and say, you know, our preacher, he had a problem one time, but he really seen it. And after he really seen it, he fought it and fought a good fight. He kept that thing subdued the rest of his days. And Lord, that's what I want to be on this problem of mine, is eating to the excess, gratifying my flesh, bowing to that old belly. I want to have a victory. Please help me tonight. And please continue to help me and help these dear saints tonight too. And may we all eat right, that we may be able to serve God acceptably and live the most of our days in health and able to feel good. And I pray in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Appreciate you.